Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview. Thomas Nelson is the publisher of Believing Jesus by Lisa Harper. Lisa's a great author. She's earned the reputation as a seminary-trained scholar. She's a hilarious storyteller, and who doesn't want to laugh? Her book, Believing Jesus, will highlight both of her strengths as a seminary scholar and, of course, as someone who's going to make you laugh. She expounds on this epic and exciting New Testament book with theological depth and comedic wit. She keeps it real with plenty of self-deprecating anecdotes, and more importantly, she consistently points readers back to the perfect love and sufficiency of Jesus Christ. This book is available wherever books are sold, or you can visit her website at believingjesusbook.com. Here it is again, believingjesusbook.com. And thanks to Thomas Nelson for sponsoring this podcast.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Strang Report. Thank you for listening. Today we're going to talk about a very interesting subject that affects one out of three Americans, and that is the subject of cancer. I'm talking today to Dr. Francisco Contreras, who is a leading world expert in the area of cancer, and also a man who we have published a number of times, and it's just a real honor to be here. I want to welcome you and to ask you, what is the state of cancer in our culture? Are more people getting cancer? How close are we to finding a cure? Exactly what's happening?
First of all, thank you for interviewing me, Mr. Strang. It's an honor. And to answer your question, the reason why there's so much cancer nowadays has to do a lot with our lifestyle, more than anything else. And in America or any other developed country, the main reason why we're developing so much cancer is not just what we eat, which is not natural. If you look into your teeth, we have only four canine teeth. And we eat meat as if all of our teeth were canine and about 3 inches long. Only 11% of our teeth are canine. So that's how our plate should look. About 89%, 88% of our food should be vegetables, and only 11% of it should be meat or animal protein. But not only that is a problem, the biggest problem really is preservation of food. All of the chemicals that we put into our food for it to have a long shelf life, those elements, those chemicals, are really what are disturbing our DNA and causing mutations that will end up in malignant tumors.
So what is the answer for this? Is it a change in lifestyle, or is it just a matter of allowing people to get sick and then trying to cure the disease?
Well, the biggest problem is that we are so convinced that everything can be fixed that we don't care, because we think that doctors are there to save us. As far as cancer is concerned, we have been a complete failure. The war on cancer was declared officially by President Nixon in 1972. And they claimed, the American government claimed, that together with the NCI, the National Cancer Institute, if sufficient money would be given to them, which was given to them, a cure would be found in 10 years. So here we are 45 years later, 43 years later, and we have really nothing to show for it. So it is much easier for us to think in terms that if we stay away from preserved or manipulated food, the closer we eat the food the way God put it on this earth, the lower our incidence of cancer will be. So my passion has been to teach people on how to prevent cancer, and it's actually not that difficult. So consuming the food the way God put it on this earth, consuming a lot more vegetables and fruits than animal protein, exercising, and having a good relationship with God will lower your incidence of cancer by 80 or 90%. Just by doing those three things that are very doable. It takes a little bit of discipline, but it's doable. Rather than waiting for you to get cancer and then you go to your doctor, and then we can do very little for you. Just to show you how big the failure has been. If you look at the statistics published by the American Cancer Society, every year more people die of cancer than the year before. In spite of billions upon billions of dollars on research and treatment spent every year in America. So the medical community, especially the oncological or cancer community, has been a total failure in helping people with cancer.
Why is that? Because some diseases have actually been obliterated, if that's the right word. Tuberculosis, for example, polio. My impression is that heart disease is less than it used to. Is that right or am I wrong?
That's absolutely right. The death rate from heart disease has dropped by about 80% in the last 50 years. The death rate of cancer has dropped by less than 2% over the last 50 years. And the main difference in that is that I think that everybody would agree that if you go to a cardiologist will tell you, the patient, that diet plays a major role. You need to lower your cholesterol, that you need to eat more vegetables, that you need to exercise. While an oncologist, if you ask them, what is it that you should change in your diet, they'd say, nothing. You can go ahead with your lifestyle and make no changes. Obviously, if we find cancer in a very early stage, it's usually curable. Unfortunately, cancer is a very silence. It doesn't provoke many symptoms at the beginning. And so most people will be walking with cancer for years before they notice it. And unfortunately, in most cases, when they notice it, cancer is already in stage 3 or 4. And that is when it's not curable. And those are mainly the patients that we're treating with chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery. But there are alternatives. We can treat cancer with natural elements that God put on this earth for us to regain our health. And so at the Oasis of Hope, we have a combination of therapies. We are an integrative oncological center where we use natural and chemical elements to help our patients in whatever stage they have. And we have been blessed with tremendous results because we use whatever God has put on this earth for us to maintain our health and to regain our health when necessary.
Let's talk about Oasis of Hope. You have a great reputation. You've helped many, many people. It's right across the border from San Diego and Tijuana, founded by your father, Ernesto Contreras. Am I right?
Yes.
Tell us about it, because in spite of all the people you've helped, there are some people who find it controversial, because I'm talking mostly about Americans, because I'm assuming that it's not approved by our government. You have different laws in Mexico. Could you explain to me and my listeners more about what Oasis of Hope is and what it is that you do to help the cancer patient?
Oasis of Hope was founded on two principles. The first principle is what the father of medicine said, first, do no harm. And oncologists break that rule on a daily basis because chemotherapy, radiation, and most surgeries are very harmful, not all of them. And the second principle is what Jesus said, love your neighbor, we say your patient, as you love yourself. So we do not offer treatments to our patients that we would not take ourselves if we were in a position with a malignancy. Most oncologists will give treatments to their patients that they would never touch. There's a publication in a medical journal where they polled 118 oncologists and they asked them, would you give multiple chemotherapy to a patient with stage 4 cancer? And all of them said yes. Then the next question was, if you had stage 4 lung cancer, would you give yourself chemotherapy? And they said no. And the reason for that is that we know that no matter what you do for a stage 4 patient cancer with lung cancer, they all die. In fact, they live longer if you do nothing for them. So we are going to offer our patients only therapies that we would give ourselves. And with that philosophy, we have found that natural therapies can be more effective than conventional therapies like chemo or radiation. And our results are between 3 and 10 times better for 5-year survival rates than those obtained with conventional therapy in America or in Europe. And the reason for this is that not only do we have integrative therapy between conventional and alternative, but that we also are very holistic. A cancer patient especially has tremendous emotional and spiritual needs. And we have found that when we provide them with resources, emotionally, but especially spiritually, because your emotional reactions are going to be based on your spiritual fortitude. When somebody knows that they're going to heaven, when somebody knows that for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain, the fear goes away, the immune system rises to the level of fighting, and we see tremendous miracles happen when you help your patients emotionally and spiritually. And conventional oncologists don't want to deal with that, don't want to deal with the patient's emotions. And so the patients are left alone, weary. There's no hope, you know, if you have a stage 4 cancer, they'll tell you, well, we must start chemotherapy now, because if we don't, you'll die in a year, and if we give you chemotherapy, you'll die in two. So there's nothing really to gain, and then the therapies are devastating as far as quality of life. So our philosophy is to provide quality of life over an indefinite period of time. And many times that's 15, 20 years. And so the patient couldn't care less that they're not cured, but that they're enjoying life for a much longer time than expected. And for us, that is a tremendous result. And then we see, you know, miracles where there are cures. And we just have to give the glory to God, because scientifically, you cannot explain it. And so at the Oasis of Hope, we understand that God is the healer and that He may use us sometimes, and sometimes He doesn't on His own, and that sometimes the healing is complete when He takes a patient home, and we praise God for that.
Because I've published some of your books, I've read your materials, and I remembered the thing that stood out to me in one of your books on cancer was how you cared for the patients even when they were terminal and it was concluded that you could do nothing medically for them, that you were able to improve their quality of life, treat them with dignity, and care for them, you know, for as long as they had here on earth, which is all that any of us can hope for if we're sick or if we have cancer. Earlier you mentioned oncologists and how they wouldn't tell their patients about eating right, and it made me wonder. People basically wouldn't go to an oncologist unless they suspected or had been told that they had cancer. Isn't that right? And maybe that's true of cardiologists. Maybe you don't go to a cardiologist until you have some kind of heart disease. But how would an average person deal with this, even if they go to maybe get annual physicals, as I do? You know, the physicals they give, how in the world would they even tell if you had the early stages of cancer, you know, when they take your blood pressure and listen to your breathing and look at your tongue and, you know, whatever doctors do? What can an average person do, you know, short of very expensive medical tests that may not even be necessary to diagnose whether or not they have early stages of cancer or maybe pre-cancer?
You're right. It is very, very difficult. And screening tests have proven to be not very effective. For instance, the screening of breast cancer has led to more over-treatment than beneficial to many, many women. It is extremely difficult to find a blood test. For instance, there are some tumor markers that you can do, but we have over 350 different types of cancers, and we have tumor markers for maybe five. So even if we do those five tumor marker tests, we're you know, leaving many, many other types of cancers behind that we cannot treat. That is why, to me, the idea that we can help people or not help people in cancer without prevention is ludicrous. I think that doctors at the general level should be teachers more than just trying to do a physical and see if you can find anything wrong. Is really proactively telling people that if they eat five portions of fruits and vegetables a day, which is not very much, a portion is what you fill up with a cup of coffee. So it's really not much if you think about it. It will lower your incidence of cancer by 50%. not making any other change. You can continue either, you know, eating hamburgers and all the junk that you want. So imagine if you increase the amount of vegetables and decrease the amount of junk, you can lower the risk even more. And that if you exercise a half an hour a day, you can lower the risk of cancer by 40%. So 40% by exercising and 50% by eating right makes a lot more sense than trying to find tests to determine whether you have an early stage cancer or not. Even though that's very good, you're too late if you found that. It's much better to prevent it so that people do not have cancer. And so if we would spend more money in educating people about the benefits of prevention, we would lower the incidence of cancer, even in very developed countries, very significantly.
This is a subject that is so vast that no one could ever understand all of it, and certainly a journalist like me couldn't cover it in an interview. So tell us how a person can educate themselves, maybe a website that they could go to. How could they contact Oasis of Hope for more information?
Our website is oasisofhope.com, and we have loads of information for patients with cancer and how to prevent cancer. We have a number of books, and I thank you for publishing some of our books that will help you in a tremendous way in layman terms. They're very easy to read on how to prevent cancer and how to fight cancer if you already have it. And many of the things that are preventive are also very helpful to patients with cancer. So a diet makes a tremendous difference on a patient with cancer. And the main thing that I would like to convey is that there's hope. Cancer is not necessarily a death sentence. You can beat cancer, or you can live with cancer for a very, very long time if you do things right.
Thank you very much, Dr. Contreras.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.